Well, the text that we're going to be considering tonight is Matthew's account of Peter's famous, or should I say infamous, threefold denial of Christ on Good Friday, which of course is the day we are commemorating tonight. At Gethsemane, as we undoubtedly know so well, our Lord Jesus was betrayed by the disciple Judas into the custody of the chief priests. Having been seized by the armed crowd sent out to capture him, Christ was then led to Caiaphas, the high priest, to stand trial before the council of scribes and elders. When Jesus was arrested, the gospel account tells us that all his disciples fled from his side. But we read in Matthew that Peter followed. He followed at a distance. And while Christ was being interrogated by the council, our text tells us that Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. And as he sat there, undoubtedly tremendously anxious, a servant girl recognized him as one of Jesus' disciples. She went up to him and informed him that she recognized him as a follower of Jesus. We read from verse 69 to 70. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and his servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." At that moment of exposure, what happened? Peter's resolve collapsed. His resolve to stand by the Lord Jesus broke, and he went on to deny knowing his Lord. Keep in mind that earlier in this chapter, Peter insisted that even if all the others were to fall away, he would never fall away because of the Lord. He, in fact, exclaimed that he was ready to die for the Lord Jesus. Well, several hours later, Peter was doing the exact opposite. He was emphatically insisting that he did not know the Lord. Obviously, at that moment, Peter was deeply afraid to be associated with Christ. No doubt he was afraid that he too would be seized and dragged before the council, like his incarcerated master. We read it on in our text that fearful Peter shied away from the girl who confronted him and went out from the courtyard to the entrance of that place where Jesus was standing trial. And there again we read in tonight's text that he was recognized by yet another servant girl. We read in verse 71 to 72. "And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.'" This time around, this other servant girl went to the bystanders to report that Peter was a follower of Jesus. And we see that Peter's response goes from bad to worse. He not only denies knowing the Lord, but he backs up his denial with an oath. So at this point, Peter was not only guilty of unfaithfulness, but also perjury. But as bad as his downward slide had been so far, it was about to get even worse. A little while, we read in our text, the bystanders would join in and accuse Peter of being a follower of Christ. Verse 73 to 75. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter's self-preservation instinct drove him to invoke a curse on himself and swear again that he did not know Christ. Peter essentially said, "If I am lying to you, may I be cursed by God. I swear I do not know the man." Unfaithfulness, followed by perjury, followed by invoking a curse on himself. The downward slide was going from bad to worse, to much worse. And it was at that moment the rooster crowed. As we just pointed out a few moments ago, several hours preceding this event, Peter had insisted to the Lord Jesus that even though all the others would fall away, he would never fall away. He would never fall away, even at the cost of his life. And at that time, the Lord Jesus looked past Peter's naive bravado and gave a sober assessment of his character. He foretold that before the rooster crowed that night, Peter would deny him three times. Peter remembered at that moment when the rooster crowed what the Lord foretold. And our text tells us that he left the courtyard and wept bitterly. Thankfully, we know that Peter went on to repent. He went on to repent of his atrocious conduct that night. We know that the Lord's prayer on Peter's behalf would sustain his faith so that it would not fail, even in the aftermath of his shocking denials. As we read in Luke 22, 31 to 32, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And turn again he did. After the sad events of Good Friday, Peter went on to live out a life of faithful service to Christ. And at the conclusion of his life, Peter would die for Christ, just as the Lord would later foretell in John 21, 18 to 19. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." What can we learn from the story of Peter's denial on Good Friday long time ago? Well, one important lesson we can derive from this incident is the need to keep watch in prayer. Shortly before his arrest, our Lord Jesus took Peter, James, and John to Gethsemane, where he would be betrayed by Judas. We know that there our Lord prayed about the terrible cup he was about to drink. We know that in that prayer he asked in agony that if God were willing, that cup would pass from him. Peter, James, and John, in contrast, fell asleep. The first of three times that the Lord would find his disciples sleeping, instead of praying, he admonished Peter. Verse 40 to 41 of this chapter in Matthew. And he came to disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." To keep from entering the temptation, what does our Lord Jesus instruct Peter? What does he instruct us? We must watch and pray. May not be faced with the temptation to publicly deny Christ in the way Peter was tempted. Yet for believers in places where Christians are violently persecuted, that is a very real temptation. And we too may one day face that kind of severe temptation. Nonetheless, believers may face other kinds of difficult temptations, somewhat more mundane. Temptation to give in to unrighteous anger when seriously slandered, when seriously wronged. Temptation to covet the good things enjoyed by others during a time of painful loneliness and suffering. Or temptation to fall into a spirit of discontentment due to some profound disappointment in life. And we may not have the best track record against certain kinds of temptation. We know that we all have our Achilles heel. Despite our sincere desire to please the Lord, we may find that our resolve tends to crumble when we are severely tested in some particular area in our lives. Could it be that we are struggling to the extent that we are because we are failing to be watchful in prayer? Sometimes it's the simplest explanation that is at the root of our problems. We pray earnestly, we pray regularly for many good things. But do we pray as earnestly and as regularly that we might not enter into temptation? We pray so vigilantly for our health, for the well-being of our families, even perhaps for the well-being of this church. But are we just as vigilant in prayer about resisting temptations? Do we pray about it every day? Or once in a blue moon? Do we pray about it while temptation is far off? Or do we pray only when it's up close and personal and about to engulf us? Our Lord Jesus admonished Peter, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." You should never downplay prayer. See, Peter was confident that he would not fall to severe temptation. But without being watchful in prayer, what happened? He quickly succumbed when he was tested. So let us also remember to rely constantly on the Lord for help against troublesome temptation. Let us always remember to be watchful in prayer. We read in Hebrews 4 concerning our Lord Jesus and the temptations we may face. Verse 14 to 16. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When dealing with difficult temptations, we need help in that time of need. We can't do it ourselves. Whatever temptation our Lord may have endured as he prayed at Gethsemane, we know that he overcame those temptations with flying colors. We read in Luke's account that as our Lord prayed, His sweat became like great drops of blood. He asked for the Father to remove the cup from him. We read in Luke's account that at that time an angel from heaven appeared to him in order to strengthen him. As our Lord considered the cup he was about to drink, he was deeply distressed, more than any of us have ever felt, by far, immeasurably so. Yet as he prayed, the Son of God submitted to his Father's will and accomplished the most difficult task ever undertaken by anyone, ever. And what was that task? Giving his life for our sins. The book of Hebrews tells us that our Lord is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he faced temptations of every kind, yet he never sinned. So let us depend on him as our sympathetic high priest, who looks upon our struggles with temptation, not with scorn, not with indifference, but with pity. Who looks upon us with sympathy in those times of struggle and is ready to strengthen us and help us overcome any temptation whenever we sincerely and prayerfully seek the grace of his help. And that is one of the major lessons that we can derive from this sad event in Matthew chapter 26. And yet we can take encouragement from it, knowing that when we keep watch in prayer, when we are alert in prayer, when we rely constantly in prayer against our difficult temptations, our Lord Jesus looks upon us with sympathy and is ready to help us for as long as we prayerfully depend on his grace for help. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are our sympathetic high priest. We have learned in tonight's incident how your disciple Peter, though he was so sure that he would resist temptation and remain faithful and true, how quickly his resolve collapsed when he was tested. And we know that one of the reasons why his resolve collapsed was because he did not remain watchful in prayer. And when it was time to pray, he was sleeping with the other disciples. Lord, we pray this Good Friday that we would remain watchful in prayer. We sometimes, if not many times, overestimate ourselves. We think that we can handle whatever temptations may be thrown at us, only to find that our resolve crumbles so quickly. And it crumbles so quickly because we are not relying on you for help in our time of need, because we are not remaining watchful in prayer against temptation. We pray about so many different things, most of them very, very good. But how often we forget to keep at the forefront of our prayers each day. We forget to pray about our temptations. Lord, we pray that we'll be very proactive to pray for help and strength to resist all temptation, to keep from falling into those sins that we have a tendency to fall into. And so, Lord, as we rely on you in watchful prayer, that we would know that you look upon us not with scorn, but rather with sympathy, and that you are ready to help us. We pray, Lord, that we will rely on you, therefore, constantly in prayer, so that we may not fail, but that we may stand firm in the faith and stand firm in obedience in the moment of severe testing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.